So Frank asked me to talk a little bit about podcasting. I'm going to kind of give a 30,000-foot overview. So he wanted me to talk a little bit about podcast production. Since I produce 2 podcasts and edit 3, I looked up a definition of podcast yesterday, and I found that it said that a podcast is a digital audio or video file or recording, usually part of a themed series that can be downloaded from a website to a media player or computer. Most podcasts, I mean, they do have video podcasts, and you can actually even, people can put their podcasts up onto YouTube. But the thing about podcasts, different than any other audio file, is anyone who remembers the days of NVIDIA recording was time shifting. So if I wanted to watch All in the Family, but I wasn't going to be home, I could record it and then go back and watch it later. And that's basically the beauty of podcasting, is you can listen to anything anytime. And anytime that a new episode of a podcast comes out, the RSS feed's automatically updated. So if you're listening either on your phone or on your computer or on the A-Lady, you can hear the latest episode. If you're thinking of starting a podcast, then I'll pick on Frank. So let's say Frank wants to start a podcast on. We know Frank has many interests and many hobbies. One of them is model railroading. Now, I'm sure, Frank, there's a podcast about anything. There's probably already a bunch of podcasts about model railroading. But let's say Frank wanted to start his own podcast. So what kind of questions would he ask himself? First one is, what do I want a podcast about? So he'd say, well, I want to do a podcast about model railroading. So that's the answer to that question. Second question is to produce episodes for this podcast. Do I want it to be daily, weekly, monthly? And this obviously is going to affect how much time he takes to do this. If it's a daily podcast, it's a lot more work than if you're producing a podcast once a month. And in addition to that, how long do I want it to be? Do I want it to be half an hour, an hour? Third question, do I want to edit my own podcast? Pay somebody to edit it for me so I don't have to worry about it. I'll just record the content and somebody else will edit it, and then I'll either, you know, then put it up or they'll put it up for me. And so the next question, what kind of equipment do I need if I want to record this podcast? And how much money do I want to spend? You could use something like the Voice Memos app, which comes with your iPhone, and record it without spending any money. Or you could go crazy and buy a $300 interface for your computer and a $400 microphone, and like some of us crazy people do, or set up a studio in your house like Steve, and, you know, do it that way. You want to think about, I've got to host my podcast on a platform somewhere. Is an online service that stores and distributes audio files for podcasts, provides essential features like storage, bandwidth, RSS feed generation, analytics, and distribution to various podcast directories. Examples of podcast platforms are things like Libsyn, which I use and Steve uses, Pinecast, Blueberry, Podbean, there's a bunch of them. And then, of course, there's Podcast Directory, which is the list of all the podcasts available through a podcast platform. Apple Podcasts is probably the most popular, but there's Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon, iHeartRadio, Pandora, TuneIn, the A-Lady. When you use one of these platforms like Libsyn or whatever, through them, you can sign up to all these different directories. Next thing is, I'm going to list a couple of podcast resources. There's a bunch of podcasts about podcasting. The first place I would start is Jonathan Mosen had a podcast, which is no longer being updated, but still has a lot of good information, called The Blind Podmaker. And it's specifically designed for blind podcasters. There's another podcast called The School of Podcasting. There's another one called Podtastic Audio. But Jonathan's actually is pretty good, The Blind Podmaker. I would recommend that. He also has a tutorial, which is a little out of date, but it's still, I think it costs about $60. It's called Unleash Your Inner Podcast. And he goes through a lot of these questions and different things to deal with about podcasting. Then in terms of podcasting recording hardware and software, for example, for the iPhone, you have things like Voice Memos. I think that's the one that may come on your iPhone. Voice Memos, Recorder HQ, Just Press Record. These are all apps on your that you can use on your phone to record podcasts. If you have a PC, you want to record on your PC, programs like Goldwave, which is pretty inexpensive, Audacity, which is free, Reaper, which is, I think, about $60. And if you're running a Mac, programs like Twisted Wave, Reaper, Audacity, Amadeus Pro. And then the other way you can go, if you don't want to use a computer or an iPhone to record your podcast, you can get something like, say, the Zoom H1 Essential, which is about $100. There's a lot of choices out there. And if there's anything I've missed, I know Steve, who creates a monthly podcast, can chime in.
I wonder if Our Media is still around. When I was doing a podcast, I used it as my host.
They change so much. I mean, there are ones out there now that when I looked the other day that I never even heard of. There's so many people getting into this space.
Our media was, I think it was run by the same people who do the Internet Archive. So it was free to you.
I mean, there are some free ones, and then there are some ones that are. So the problem with some of the free ones is you don't necessarily own your own content.
If you're working on an iPad, which programs would work? Would it be the ones that work on an iPhone or a Mac?
The answer is that anything that works on the iPhone is going to work on the iPad. As far as Mac goes, like stuff like Twisted Wave, Piezo, Amadeus.
Amadeus is a good one. Yeah.
How did you get into this, Tim? And do you like doing podcasting or editing and producing and editing other people's podcasts?
I edit and produce other people's. I don't do my own. I have uploaded stuff that's gone into other people's podcasts. I mean, I've done stuff for Jonathan Mosen, but I don't do my own podcast.
And did you learn to edit and produce on the PodMaker?
Before even podcasting was around, I mean, I've been editing since probably 1995. Oh my God, that makes me feel old. You know, I did learn a lot of stuff through the Blind PodMaker. Jonathan started that up because there were so many blind people interested in podcasting. Of course, he's podcasted since I think 2004.
And I was going to say something. Another consideration is, how complicated do you want it? Do you want interviews? Do you want music in the background? Do you want voiceovers? Do you want,
Yes.
To apply effects. I mean, once you get going, you can really go down a rabbit hole very quickly.
And what you think about doing it on a PC or a Mac? What would you want to try it on?
I myself can't think of a podcast topic that I would want to do, but I would be interested in learning more about producing or editing other people's at this point.
What's your favorite platform? What are you comfortable with?
Well, I do know Audacity.
Yeah, if you have access to a Mac, there's a company called Rogue Amoeba that makes some great audio apps. One is called Fission, which is super easy to use. You could actually make some very professional sounding things without a lot of effort. You know, a lot of it's just cut, copy, paste, throw in a few effects. Yeah. So actually, but if you do have access to a Mac, look for a company called Rogue Amoeba. They're the ones that make it because they make
Rogue
some
Amoeba.
They make a lot of other audio apps, which are really nice stuff and really easy to use. Yeah,
I know. Like Jonathan Mosen has his podcasts have like chapters. Where does that get put into the process?
Steve could talk about that because Steve, aren't you doing chapters now in your?
No, not yet. And the reason I'm not doing them is because I would have to learn Reaper to do them. Right now, as far as I know, Reaper is the only app that will do the appropriate markups to make the chapters happen. And I just haven't taken the time yet to go do it. For those of you who don't know, the idea of chapters is, let's say with a typical council connection, I put in 2 to 3 different segments of the show. The idea of chapters is that instead of just sitting there and playing the whole show from beginning to end, I can subdivide that show into the 3 segments that it has. So when you go through the chapters, and you would have to have a player that supports chapters. So for instance, Overcast is one of the players that does. The app that is built into your phone does not, as far as I know, support chapters. So you'd have to install Overcast. Not that it would cost you anything, but you have to do it. In Overcast, if your podcast supports chapters, you will see that you have something called a chapter list. And you go to that list and it'll say chapter one and maybe a title and chapter two and maybe a title. And you just flip between the chapters. And if that has been built into the podcast, you can reference those individual segments without having to rewind and fast forward and go to, you know, 1 minute and 53 seconds to get to the end of the first segment and find the next one. Chapters are to podcasting what the Daisy markup is to your NLS books, you know, so that you have the books are indexed by the chapter involved.
The software I talked about, Fission, does do, you can put chapter markers into things.
Oh, good. So.
When you say you make your podcast and you edit it, and then you have, what is it, like an MP4 file?
MP3. Yeah.
Okay. Send it up to one of these services. Now, do you actually have to like make, you have to make an account with the service?
Yeah, you make an account with this. You make an account with the service. You pay a monthly fee or if it's a free account. Some of the services you can just log on and upload it that way, or you can even, I actually FTP the files.
Okay. They put them up in the directory.
You FTP them to the directory that you want, yeah. And then you can either set it to be distributed a certain time. When I usually upload mine, as soon as they're uploaded, I have it so they're sent out automatically. Or you can say, say, I want this sent out on this particular day at this particular.
Usually the accounts will want you to incorporate certain things into podcasts. For instance, with Libsyn, they want you to have some kind of an image that goes with the podcast so that when they present it to the various services, they can show a graphic that says what the podcast is. And they have specs for the DPI and the resolution and all of that stuff, the aspect ratio and that sort of thing. And they tell you in their documentation what they want to see. And same thing for Apple. If you want a podcast to go to Apple, there are certain things that Apple wants you to have in that podcast. And if you don't have them, it's not going to get published.
What would you use as a program to make those images?
Any program that will generate graphics, I think, can do it as long as it conforms to the specs that they, you know, so you can make JPEG files that are, you know, set up with the proper dots per inch and aspect ratio and all that jazz.
So do you need a graphic for just the podcast in general, or do you need one for each episode?
Just for the feed.
Just like a master.
Yeah, so, you know, when I upload Council Connection each month, I don't re-upload the graphics. They're already up on Libsyn, and Libsyn knows enough to, you know, I go into the show, which you create the podcast, the whole structure for the podcast. So when I upload a new show each month, it asks me for the file name. I put that in. It uploads that. It wants me to fill in certain things like each show has to have a title. Optionally, they would like you to have a description. And it wouldn't make sense if you didn't, because you know, there's no
confusing
point. And also all of that artwork that goes along with it. And then you just hit the publish button, and then next thing you know, it appears in your feed and people are downloading it. The nice thing about Libsyn and other things like that is Libsyn will distribute it. So Council Connection appears on Lady A. It appears on iTunes. It appears on Spotify. It appears as an RSS feed that you can download, and you know, that's all. So basically, that makes sure that everybody who wants that podcast can get a hold of it.
Do you get any statistics telling you how many people are downloading and where they're downloading it from?
Yes, there's a whole dashboard that you can look at everything that's up there.
And some places even, I don't know if it's required by anybody yet, but you can, you know, do a whole transcript of your audio.
You can. I haven't done that, again, because it would take more work than I feel like putting into it. But
well, some of the recording software actually has that built in. What is Audio Hijack? It'll actually just do that for you. It'll give you a whole...
And Goldwave does actually now.
Goldwave does too, yeah.
Yeah, but I can tell you from having played with it in Goldwave that, number one, you better be prepared to format that thing, because what you get is pretty weird looking. Depending on what kind of audio you have, let's say you have the people you're interviewing have very flaky internet connections, you're going to get enough garbage that you're going to be spending half your time cleaning it up. Well, if I interview somebody on their cell, I have no idea what I'm going to get.
Is that one of those techniques I think I've heard where people actually record their own stuff where they are, and then somehow that all gets meshed together?
In the old days, that was called a double ender, John.
You can do it, but the problem, again, is going to be, what are they using to record it? How are they going to get it to you? Yeah. In my experience, I just find that it's easier for me to have control of those things rather than ask people to do things for me and hope that they get it right.
I just want to know, could you speak a little bit more what the difference is between producing and the editing of the podcast?
So editing, I just is actually editing the audio. Producing, I would say, is more of doing the whole thing, not only editing it, but actually uploading the final product to that's the distinction I make. Uploading the podcast, you know, to have it sent out.
Producing also means things like deciding, in addition to the actual guest who's speaking, do we want to have background music? And if we wanted to have background music, what would it be? And how much of it would there be? And what do we want to go between the guests? You know, do we have little musical bridges? Do we have promos? Do we have, in other words, these are all of the decisions that you would make about how you want the podcast to be structured.
And when you're editing, Tim, I'm assuming you have to really work closely with the producer or the person who's creating it, because they might want you to take out.
Yeah, certain things. So
double certain things or do something. Or
right, exactly. especially if it's a time constraint where, you know, let's say they send you a piece of audio that's an hour and 25 minutes and they don't want it to go beyond an hour. So right there, you got to take out 25 minutes somewhere.
And do you get a lot of times where you have to send it, your product to them and then have them listen to it and then
re-edit it? And the people that I've been working with long enough so that they trust my judgment. You know, they might send me an episode and say, when this person starts to talk about this, I want you to take this out. You know, most of the podcasts that I edit, I don't edit for content. I edit for time, just to get it down to...
Right.
One thing that I will do sometimes when I edit a podcast, when I interview somebody, I ask them questions to get them talking on a subject. But when I produce the podcast, I don't necessarily need my listeners to hear all of the little things that I say to kind of jog my guest into speaking. So what I will do is to cut out my interjections and comments and just let the person speak as if they were talking uninterrupted. When you hear the podcast, you'll never know that there's anything missing, because I've set it up so that my voice comes out on a completely separate track and I just get rid of that track and silence it. That makes it focus more on the guest than it does on what I have to say.
Yeah, so you need to work for NPR, National Public Radio. There's a person that does six to seven, or maybe it's the five to six, that puts all kinds of oohs and ahs into the interview.
That's what she wants, though.
But it gets annoying after a while.
That's the kind of presentation she wants to make.
Yeah, yeah.
But see, I have chosen to take that stuff out because I find that when I listen to it, it's irritating.
Yes, yeah.
And so that's a choice I make. But I don't cut out what the person says. I mean, you could be brutal in editing. I could take out, every time the person said the word not, I could take it out and make it, you know, so that they completely...
So then people would be agreeing to stuff they didn't agree to. But how do you do the, do you just do that in the recording software itself? You just set up two tracks at once?
And once you start the editing process, Jen, it works kind of like the way you edit in a word processor. Except that instead of dealing with characters, you're dealing with chunks of sound. One of the things that I did in this last month's Council Connection is I had an interview with David Kingsbury. Now, David, when he speaks, tends to say a lot,
a lot of
ums. And I find that rather annoying. So I want to remove all of those ums.
So that find and replace.
But you can't get rid of them. And if you do it right, not only can you get rid of them, but you can make the pacing such that nobody will ever know that you cut them out. I do a much better job now of editing than I did, say, 10 years ago. If you're in a time crunch where you've got to get, for instance, with Council Connection, they hold me to 58 minutes and they're not sitting around.
They want 58 minutes.
If I send them 60, they are either going to shove it off. Or they're going to try and edit it. And I don't want them to do either one.
Episodes of Council Connection, how long does it usually take you to edit it? I mean, is it differ from episode to episode, or do you have it down to a system by now?
It depends on who I'm interviewing. Mostly it depends on who I'm interviewing. For instance, when I used to interview Bob Hache, I had to do a lot of editing, not to get rid of ums necessarily. Sometimes he would wander off on, and get so far off track that I just had to cut out a lot of stuff because it was all extraneous things. Or the other thing that he would do that would drive me crazy, he would be reading something out loud and he would pause as he got, looking for a page. That's wonderful. But you don't really want that to be a part of the podcast. You want to get rid of that.
Hey, Tim, which software you're using now for editing?
I use the same one Steve uses. I use GoldWave on the PC.
Oh, GoldWave.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Because I know several years ago in 2012, a voice program, the MCV, that 3-month program.
Yes.
We were using the Sony SoundForge.
Yes. Yeah. SoundForge has gotten more and more inaccessible over the years, unfortunately.
Ever since Sony took it over.
How is that APH audio recorder?
Oh, studio recorder? It's good. It's expensive, though. It's $200.
Oh, I know.
It's got the best, most accessible VU meters in the world. And if you're interested in managing your levels, which you really should be when you do a podcast, you kind of want to know what your levels are, and the meters will tell you. If you're looking to do some fancy effects, the studio recorder is not what you want to use. If you're looking, it's really designed to work best with voice editing. It recognizes paragraphs, sentences, breaths. They even have a thing for getting rid of audible breath, which I've never used, but it's there. Reaper is great if you need or want to do chapter support. If you don't care about that, then you have a lot of other options.
Thank you very much.